Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And the Dallas Cowboys were eating f***ing turkey legs in the middle of the game against us, bro. The Dallas Cowboys were eating turkey legs in the middle of the football game. In the middle of a f***ing football game, they were having Thanksgiving dinner on our shit, bro. They were having the Last Supper on our shit in the middle of a f***ing football game, bro. And y'all wonder why ain't y'all no energy to spend on this team. Y'all don't hear me. They were feasting on f***ing aluminum foil wrapped turkey legs in the middle of an NFL football game, bruh. Turkey would have been nasty as shit, because guess what? I definitely added some salt with my tears. I'm crying like shit over the turkey, getting trolled by Dallas Cowboy fans. Turkey salty as shit is my tears, bro. I had a Thanksgiving plate with a side of tears, bro.
Only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
How about them Cowboys, indeed?
Welcome back, everyone. Post-Thanksgiving edition of About Them Cowboys. Cowboys just keep on winning, and records keep on being set. We'll talk about that on this episode. We've got John. We've got Sod. And yes, we do. We've got KT back from vacation. So let's toss it to them with Kevin KT Fun Vacation Turner. Hey, KT.
Good to be back, guys. I hope you didn't miss me too much. Real quick New York story. I'll just let you guys know, Tommy DeVito does the local news on Sunday nights after games. This is 2 weeks ago.
In studio. Wow.
In studio. I was a little bit like, ooh, that would never happen here. And I don't know, maybe New York's not that hard to get around, you know? But it was... whatever the Nui or Ducey equivalent is, he was there. Joe Trahan, whatever that equivalent is, he was in studio Sunday night after a Giants win. I was like, would Dak do that?
But if he was really into the weather,
yeah, right. It would have to be. That was just wild. In studio 3 hours after a game. Well, you know what? That might have been a noon game. 6-7 hours after a game? Maybe. Maybe early in Dak's career? Not now. Dak wouldn't have to do that. Tommy DeVito's probably like, let me get all the media I can get now. Although the Giants have won two in a row. So look out there.
Is that the first time in his life he's ever been invited to do an in-studio interview? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Now, a lot of stuff has happened over the last week. We're recording, full disclosure, Monday evening ahead of a Thursday game against the Seattle Seahawks. I guess we can officially call it the beginning of the gauntlet. This is kind of where it begins. Five straight games of, you could say, playoff caliber opponents. I don't know if all of them are going to make the playoffs, Seattle being one of those teams. Buffalo, weirdly, might be one of those teams. We'll know we'll get the Eagles, too, coming up after this game against Seattle. Quick Thanksgiving Day recap. I feel weird. We shouldn't talk about the offense. We shouldn't talk about Dak. Let's start with Deron Bland. Good Lord. What is happening? This is incredible. I mean, this is something that's never been done before. He should be in the defensive MVP. Like, he shouldn't have just been added to the list this week. Okay, like, this is legit insanity that's happening right now that we'll never see again, probably. And it's from little old fifth rounder Deron Bland, whose last name even means not exciting. It's so crazy. What do you make of all this, John?
I would say he's a very good player, and that's the biggest part of it. I would say that he's probably very good at baiting quarterbacks into throwing some passes that they probably shouldn't throw. I would also say that a little bit of luck probably plays in here too. You got to have a little bit of good fortune. But really, all in all, just showing that Cowboys found a fifth round draft steal, because even if he doesn't get the pick sixes, the way he's playing is, you feel really good about the future of their cornerback position, which is something that was very high on their list of things to address just a few years ago. I mean, they needed cornerback help badly. And so now, knowing that you have Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs going forward, and the fact that if you have either of these two ball hawks on either side, the potential to take the ball away is just, it's incredible. And I will say I'm a little surprised that it's been so long since someone has gotten even five, just with how much, you know, teams pass nowadays. But for him to get six, and I don't think anybody was surprised if he gets another one. It's remarkable. It's not something that you'd expect going into the season. And, Micah Parsons talked a little bit about it today, about how, you know, he went into the season kind of hoping that you're thinking that it was going to be him versus Trayvon, is like, you know, for maybe defensive player of the year. And then Trayvon gets hurt, and then all of a sudden, you know, Micah's like, oh, well, I guess it's a one man race now. And then all of a sudden his other teammate, Deron Bland, picks up where he left off. There's just so many levels to how wild it is, just because of what Trayvon did a couple years ago and what Trayvon's continued to do. To have two guys like this on the same team is just crazy.
Yeah, you know, I think what Trayvon did a couple of years ago is like the easy comp. And I think one thing that differentiates this for me, aside from him actually returning him for touchdowns, is that there was this internet debate throughout that 2021 season, or internet discourse. I don't know if debate's the right word. Discourse of, yeah, he has all these picks and he had 11, but he doesn't tackle, but he doesn't cover, but he takes all these chances, like, look at his Pro Football Focus grade, this and that. Like, you know, all these kind of things. You really don't hear that much with Deron Bland about these things. Like, this dude is solid in coverage. He tackles. He does all these other things. So, in addition to the pick sixes, which is the headline, I think he's doing a lot of other things really well as also. Now, do I think he's going to, you know, really factor into Defensive Player of the Year voting? Probably not, because that's just not – you know, I think there's a bias towards the defensive front when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year voting, and that's just kind of the way it goes. And, you know, go back to 2021, Trayvon Diggs had 11 picks, and T.J. Watt won with 42 votes, and Micah Parsons was second with 5 votes, and Aaron Donald had 3 votes, but that was it. So, and Deron Bland has kind of just burst onto the scene. I think you have to have a little bit of more rope behind you, or whatever you want to call it, to really factor in. But what he's doing is ridiculously impressive.
Am I wrong that if it was Sauce Gardner, though, this would be, you know, a bigger deal?
It would be a bigger deal. Yeah, I mean, it's still a big deal. I mean, it's probably a bigger deal that – I think it's a big deal because Deron Bland's with the Cowboys. I think if Deron Bland's doing this for the Tennessee Titans or the Detroit Lions, I don't think he's even getting the love that he's getting right now. So let's not act like this is some totally hidden story. Judging by the editors that have reached out to Sad and I think everyone's well aware of how big of a story this is. So Sauce Gardner has a bigger name, you know, so that, you know, obviously is a big deal, you know. People know who he is more. I mean, it's still a big deal, but yeah, he just doesn't have the name that Sauce Gardner or Jalen Ramsey or somebody else does. But I mean, you know, if you keep doing this and you keep, you know, putting up numbers like this, yeah, people will eventually look at it and like, oh, this isn't just like some 1 year wonder thing, which obviously it's not. I mean, he had 5 interceptions last year to lead the team while Trayvon Diggs was on the team. So, and healthy. So he's obviously a very good player. It's going to be fascinating to see how the Cowboys find a way to pay all these guys.
I mean, yeah, does it really even matter if he's Defensive Player of the Year? He's in the record book.
No.
I mean, that's more, that's for history, right?
Yeah,
that'll be etched in stone as far as we know.
Personally, I'm not too much of an awards person anyways either. You know, when it comes to that stuff, like one thing I never really cared about too, it's like, even, it sounds dumb, like Hall of Fame, even all that stuff, I just never really cared too much. Awards, whatever. But I just feel like, I don't know, it's something – It's the scoring. It's not the interceptions. It's the scoring. I don't know how many times I watch NFL games, or you watch NFL games, college games. A player will get an interception, and he gets about as much as he can get, and then he kind of like goes down. It's like, dude, he gets an interception. He is going to the house. Dude, he looked like a running back avoiding tackles because it looked like he was dead in his rights, you know, once he got inside the 20-yard line. And they just kept his legs moving and churning. And obviously offensive players are going to be bad tacklers, and he scored.
So. Well, he has had some that have been clear path. And so I think once you start getting 2, 3, 4 in a season, I think on pick 5 and 6, you got a lot of confidence about how you're returning that. Whereas, like, you know, when if it's your first or second interception of the season, there's a lot of guys where they cut it back the wrong way. They, you know, whatever. I mean, they're kind of excited. You don't get many opportunities like that. When this is your 4th, 5th, 6th opportunity, I would think you're returning the ball with a little bit of confidence. So I think that factors in as well.
Yeah, I like the analogy that Dak used on his last one where he threw out the Michael Vick thing, because that was a throwback. But, like, you know, it was pretty accurate in terms of the way he made two defenders collide. So he definitely has a knack for that.
Now, moving over to the offensive side of the ball, obviously, offense looked good. Commanders, not a good team. Commanders are a team are, quite frankly, going through it, and they thought firing Jack Del Rio would go ahead and, you know, start getting the chemistry right there for them. So that's kind of a weird situation going on there, and this could be Ron Rivera's last year in Washington. A lot going on with them that's and none of it very good after trading Chase Young, Montez Sweat. Looked like it was going to be a game. I was surprised at some of Jerry's comments, though. And maybe it's just Jerry being Jerry. Jerry calling it one of the best days in Cowboys history for him. Is that just...
Yes.
Yeah, just kind of seizing the day a little bit more?
100%. That's Jerry salesman, Jerry. There's just, and if it isn't, then it just speaks to that it's been so long since they won Super Bowls that he doesn't really remember exactly what that was like. Because
yeah.
I'll be honest with you, just my time being around Jerry, heck, just in the last year, there's no way he was more excited after this game than he was after the Tampa Bay game. I mean, he was pumped after they won that wild card game, how good they looked, how good Dak looked in that game. He was feeling really good about that team. So I don't even think it's the best day Jerry Jones has had with the Cowboys in 365 days. But of course, you know, yeah, the Dolly Parton thing, the eyeballs that game gets for the Salvation Army. I get what he's saying. Like, it's bigger than just the football side of it, and it'll help a lot of people, a lot of contributions because of that. I get all of that, but yeah, when you've won 3 Super Bowls, I knew it. Like, I tweeted that out when I saw that quote or went back and listened to it. I knew exactly how that was going to be received by fans. Like, yeah, some people were, yeah, he's probably right, but most people were like, come on. I mean, when you've won Super Bowls, let's not act like beating Washington and a not good Washington team that, you know, and let's be honest, it's not like he's elated because they got a blowout win. Most of their games at home this year have been blowout wins. So
yeah,
I think he was just kind of in the moment there. One thing I wanted to add real quick that I find interesting is, so as you know, we're talking here, I'm trying to like look for an updated, like what's the latest odds for, you know, NFL Defensive Player of the Year. It is very interesting how you can't find any of the main sites having it updated. That tells me there's probably been some wild money coming in on some random people, like, oh, I don't know, like a Deron Bland, that has made them probably sit back and kind of be like, let's just recalculate this for a second here before we keep having him down at whatever, you know, 3,000 to 1 odds on this thing. So it's very, that part is very interesting. And why would you have not have that updated, but you have all like MVP and some of these other ones that are all updated, but, and I'm talking, I'm going to like most of those, you know, the notable ones out there, and none of them have, they have all like NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, AP Offensive Player of the Year, MVP, and you can't find the updated odds. Not from the last 3 or 4 days on defensive player years.
Dude, that's why I brought it up, because I looked for it this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's interesting.
It's so I just went to Garrett. I went to four different reputable sites, and I can have, I'm talking about sites that take bets, not ones that are like projecting, like, you know, you get some of these emails will be sent to you. I get them all the time. My fault for tweeting the stuff out randomly. So then it just is a firestorm that I always get sent this stuff of like, odds of what team, you know, Darius Leonard will sign with or the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And there's no real betting behind it. It's just like what their odds are. And you're like, this doesn't really mean anything. I'm talking about like, oh, this is what you said the odd at? Cool. Can I put money on it right now? Those are the ones that I'm talking about. When I look at those sites, there's nothing up for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Not over the last few days, at least.
I get those too sometimes, and a lot of times they're littered with Taylor and Travis type of bets. Too,
yes, yes, like, yes, yes.
Okay, that's not a real place.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one getting those.
Well, I don't know if you can't.
Yeah.
See, I think they're throwing out lines just for clickbait, and they want us to talk about it, and we're falling into their trap right now.
Yeah, but, and the other thing is with a lot of those sites too is like, especially times where I've been like at a sports book in Vegas, and you'll look some of those up on your phone and be like, hey, what can I get this at or whatever? And the odds are never even close to, like, there's just a big difference between, okay, is money about to exchange hands? Okay, no, that's not real. No, that's not. That was just a kind of a publicity thing. No, I'm talking about when I can put my money on it. What is the odds right now, today? I'll tell you, one of those that's always like that in Vegas was always the futures. You get these things sent to you. It's like, it's 500-1 for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. And then like you get to the window at a place, like, what is it for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl? Like, yeah, it's 150-1 or something. You're just like, yeah, that's not really that great, you know?
They never stop.
Yeah, either. It's never, just yeah.
Keep getting ahead of it. Here's some futures to keep you going, too.
100%.
While you're there, though, or I don't know if you have it in front of you or not.
And yeah, what's up?
We should talk about Dak, right? Dak,
yeah, he's worked his way in the top four.
And I was thinking, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit. Obviously, big win for Jalen Hurts there yesterday over Buffalo and the Eagles. That's got to keep him near the top, if not at the top. Mahomes has got to be near the top.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson's got to be up there somewhere, but maybe Dak's ahead of him. I don't know. You start looking at all these numbers. I mean, Dak's second in the league in touchdown passes. He's top 10 in every pretty much meaningful quarterback metric, top five in a lot of them. He does deserve to be there. And you look at some guys who have, you know, contended for that in the past who are now just kind of out of the mix, Joe Burrow being one of those guys. Josh Allen, you'd probably say, would be out of the mix in that type of thing. Even though he leads the league in touchdown passes, he's thrown 13 interceptions. And Buffalo is, you know, struggling right now and might not make the playoffs, which seems crazy. Dak deserves all of this. Dak deserves to be in the MVP conversation in – that's a real thing. I sit there and I watch football every single week and I go, ain't anyone playing better than him right now. Maybe it's Jalen Hurts. And maybe it's Lamar. Even Patrick at times, you're kind of going, their offense looks out of whack. It never really feels like it's his fault.
Right.
Dak's playing better than almost everyone.
Yeah, so Jalen Hurts is the obvious favorite. I mean, if the season ended today, I would have no argument. It's got to be Jalen Hurts. So he's plus 140. Mahomes is second at plus 350. And then there's a little bit of a drop-off at third is Lamar Jackson at plus 500. But then tied for fourth is Dak and Tua at plus 800. So, and then there's a significant drop-off after them. They've kind of separated themselves because then it goes down to plus 1,600 at Brock Purdy and plus 1,800 at C.J. Stroud. So it's kind of a top five, and then it kind of drops off after that. But I mean, a lot of this will iron itself out. I mean, Dak gets to go against Jalen Hurts. I mean, Dak's got the tough part of their schedule coming up. If he continues this against those teams, he's gonna be right in it. I will say, I find it hard to believe that he would win that award if they can't at least win the NFC East. And with the way the Eagles are playing right now, that just seems like such an uphill battle. So I think that's where you start at, where, okay, win the NFC East, and then you got a real shot at it because you should be in contention there. But if you can't win the NFC East, they're not giving him MVP.
Yeah, I think also just what the Eagles have done in the last couple of weeks is going to restrict that also because obviously they beat a couple of good teams. I know they have the 49ers coming up, but after that it's, you know, Dallas, and that's going to be tough. That's going to be a big game. I will say that Dallas game being on Sunday night, and a lot of these awards and things like that, a lot of it does come to visibility as well. It's kind of like what John was saying about Deron Bland doing this in Tennessee versus Dallas. I mean, a lot now Jalen Hurts isn't exactly buried in some small market that, you know, doesn't get any love. But if you're able to outduel Jalen Hurts and, you know, make this really interesting at the end, maybe, but yeah, right now it does feel like an uphill climb.
Yeah, and Well, first of all, you guys have to, we had that unique situation of having a Sunday where you guys didn't have to be, you know, at the game. Did you take in the Eagles and the Bills pretty closely yesterday?
Absolutely.
What'd you think about that? Because that's a team that got outplayed for the second week in a row.
Pretty much
90% of the game. And
for me, I'll say two things. Look, like, you know, as someone who grew up, you know, as a Patriots fan, and there were dominant years and things like that, but there were a lot of years where, you know, it was just Brady kind of rescuing them at the end. And the conversation that always follows with those kind of things, to bring a more local angle to this, and I'll make a cross sport comparison, it's that KT, whatever that year that was that the Rangers were winning, like, all those one-run games, like in 2016 or something like mm-hmm. that, and you're like, well, are they just really clutch, or are they, like, really beatable, and they're just escaping it every single time? And I tend to lean on the very clutch side with the Eagles. Like, they just find ways to win. It doesn't feel lucky. Like, there's some good fortune for sure that goes with it. I mean, there definitely are. And you saw it in that Buffalo game as well. But, you know, like, again, is it good fortune to kick that field goal 59 yards in that weather and all that? I don't know. To me, that's just a really badass kick. And so, I don't know. I feel like they're just a team that finds ways to win.
Yeah, and I don't style point any of these. To beat the Chiefs, to beat Buffalo, beat the Cowboys. I mean, those are three of the top, at the very worst, 10 teams in the league, top six, top seven. You don't need style points for that. The only argument I would make on that Rangers comparison is, well, the only Rangers comparison you can make to this would probably have to be after, like, 2011 or next season. Because if you're just barely beating teams and getting by, that's one thing. But when you're the hunted, that's another. And the Eagles are the hunted. They went to the Super Bowl last year. Some things go the right way. They could have been Super Bowl champs. You come back, the way the schedule's changed in the NFL, they're getting all the top teams. They were one of the best teams in the NFL last year. And losing both coordinators, looking at the history of how teams generally do after you lose the Super Bowl, if you don't think this is impressive, I just don't think you understand the NFL. The Eagles are a really good team. You do not want to see them.
I would agree, and we'll have another Sunday coming up where we'll be able to lock in as they play San Francisco. And they've taken care of their business against the Chiefs and the Bills. You know, the Cowboys can get their chance to take care of their business against the Bills and the Dolphins. Bills team who could be desperate, too, at that time. But let's not jump ahead too far there.
Real quick on the Eagles one. If you had a bet right now on a team to win the Super Bowl, who would you bet on?
You know, I still feel like I'm leaning San Francisco.
Okay. I mean, they are a three-point favorite over the Eagles. It surprised me. They're a three-point favorite over the Eagles this week. So I just can't imagine the Eagles not being in that conversation.
The like Eagles feel like a team that against any good offense is going to give up around 25 to 30 points. And I don't know. I think there's something about just getting shredded that's eventually going to get you. I mean, and point, dude, they lose. If Josh Allen doesn't throw it to Bradbury, who's just standing there yesterday, game over. If a 60-yard kick doesn't go in the rain, if Josh Allen hits Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis, decent route, yeah.
When Gabe Davis ran, I don't know who was in the wrong there, but wide open guy in the end zone, missed. You know, so there's all these what ifs, but you're right. You are winning these games. Whatever. All we're ever asking them, we would not give a single damn if the Cowboys got outplayed in the playoffs for 90% of the game, but they still won. You know, would not care. We're asking, we almost want them, you know, to just like figure it out. I don't care anymore. Win in January. That's all we need.
Also, so, I'm curious to get, this is slightly related, maybe unrelated, but I'm curious to get y'all's take on this. For me, this has felt the most separated league in terms of conference play in a very long time. I usually kind of make fun of baseball for that, where they're just so like American League versus National League. This year, the NFC and AFC, like, it just feels like the NFC is in its own little world. And I just thought about that because you asked, like, you know, who would you pick to win the Super Bowl right now? Like, the Ravens are a really good team, and they, you know, they have some really good wins. The Chiefs, obviously, and you know, the Dolphins and all that stuff. But for me, it just feels like the NFC between the 49ers, Eagles, Cowboys, and Lions, those four teams just kind of feel like it's I don't know. Like, I'm with you, KT. I would pick San Francisco, but I guess my point is it just feels like the NFC is kind of playing, or the both conferences are kind of playing in their own little world right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, I look at the way that I thought the point you were trying to make was that you were going to say, like, the AFC is just better and the NFC is just kind of playing around and just kind of a race to see who's the best out of the NFC. But there's like all these better AFC teams. And then I was ready to jump on that because I don't think that's the case at all.
I don't think it is anymore.
Yeah. Like I look at a team like the Dolphins, like, yeah, they could potentially win the Super Bowl. I don't like their odds any more than I like the Cowboys' odds to win the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, it could happen, but I wouldn't put it up there with, you know, Philly, Kansas City, San Francisco.
Yeah. It's still San Francisco.
And we're all still in this boat of trying to figure
because
out how
they won
seriously
so many.
We're going to take how seriously to take.
I mean,
Baltimore.
Seriously, though, like, would you really be that surprised? I mean, they got a pretty – that's my thing with San Francisco is, like, I think that over the last, you know, whatever, 5-6 years, you know, yeah, they've been better than the Cowboys. But in the end, you know, they've gotten to Super Bowls. But there's also a part of me that's kind of like, okay, well, are they going to win one? This is like a lately thing. I mean, they've had a pretty good team going back to Colin Kaepernick. And they've had some ups and downs in between. But, I mean, they've had some teams where you're like, okay, I think this is a Super Bowl pick. And they just find a way to come up short. So there's a little bit with me that wants to kind of see it from them too, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think the top part of each conference is honestly pretty even now. And Joe Burrow's injury changes a lot with what was happening there. Not that Cincinnati was being world beaters this year. They're kind of being like Buffalo. They're kind of playing with their food, so to speak. But like from a depth standpoint, the AFC is better than the NFC by far.
Yeah, for sure, depth-wise, yeah, no question.
This is where the bright side of the Cowboys situation is. And Cowboys just need to okay, win every game. Okay, generic, Kevin, I know. But like the point of it is the Cowboys are looking squarely at going to Atlanta, New Orleans, or Tampa Bay in round one of the playoffs again. And depending on how that could go, that feels like a very easy win. You know, we can, I don't know. There was a lot of people who were trying to get scared of Tampa Bay a little bit last year before that game too. I might've been one of them as well. Like, I just don't trust it. It's Tom Brady. But boy, I tell you what, the difference in thinking about Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heineke or Derek Carr or Baker Mayfield changes a lot. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I kind of am.
No, I love
the Cowboys
ahead.
Are your front runner for the five. They will be the five or they will be the one. And that's their, well, I guess they could be the two. But those are your outcomes. You know, and I think being the five, if you can't be the one and get a home field, I'd rather be the five, I think, than be the two and host a game. Is that crazy?
I wouldn't want any scenario where it comes with the team hosting a game. That's the
especially with this Cowboys team.
Yeah, I don't look at that first round like anything that you lose to one of those teams, then you have major problems anyway. This Cowboys team should have to, you know, it should be measured by what it does against Philadelphia or San Francisco in the playoffs, and you just their chances of winning one of those games just increases significantly if one of those games is played at AT&T Stadium. And so if you don't win the division, you're jumping ahead. You think you're jumping ahead. You're going to the wild card round. I'm jumping ahead to, like, divisional NFC championship because that's what this team's going to be judged on. And them not winning the division, that's where it's going to hurt them, is because not get San Francisco at home, to not get Philly at home, they're just the chances of them winning one of those games, to me, just changes significantly by them having to go on the road in either one of those games. I do like their chances better against Philly, even though I do think Philly will be a tougher road environment. Weather will probably be worse. All of those. I just think they match up better with the Eagles than having to go up to San Francisco. That's been pretty much a house of horrors. But the weather would be nicer. And hey, maybe you finally get them after they've bullied you for three games in a row now in meaningful games. So, but I look past that first round. Like, that shouldn't even be whoever you play any of those teams. There's just a clear gap between those teams and then those top three or four teams in the NFC. So That's the really the divisional round, the NFC Championship game. That's why they need to win the division, is to try and get one of those games at home. And it just doesn't look great right now on that happening.
Dak's going to have a baby.
In March.
Yeah. I mean, look, good timing, right? Off season. That's what you want. I thought, over the last month or two, you're seeing, you know, a little post that he's in, that he's might have been tagged in from her, and I'm like, well, Dak's looking very lovingly into her eyes. And then you find out that she's the one. Is this true love, guys?
Go ahead, Seth.
I'm joking. Congratulations to them.
Yes, it was.
There's four guys who don't have kids.
Dak did talk about that a lot today, and he was asked about it a lot. He wasn't just talking about it, but he was asked about it a lot, and I do think it was just, you know, his perspective on all that stuff was really interesting too. Just not even from a football perspective. I'm just talking about from a life perspective of how much, you know, really goes into the announcement and all that kind of stuff, being in his position and, you know, making sure that, you know, you're not turning all these crazy Cowboys fans loose on your, you know, baby mama and stuff. So yeah, that was an interesting perspective from Dak today.
Yeah. No boy or girl? Yeah. I don't know if, what's up?
Do we know boy or girl? Did he?
Girl.
Girl.
Yeah, he put girl dead in his original post. I don't know. I don't know if he meant Cowboys fans as much as opposing teams fans, like maybe that team in Philadelphia's fans, like more so than Cowboys fans going at her if like he doesn't play well. I don't know. I guess that's the way I took it. And I get that too. With the social media nowadays, it's like, you know, why that's got to be tough to bring somebody into that. You know, I just think from my own perspective, if like, you know, that was people were saying this like stuff about me to like my family members and stuff, that it would get irritating pretty quickly. So I get where he's coming from on that, but at the same time, he's obviously very happy, so you want to share that with the world. And hey, who knows, maybe all this has had something to do with how well he's been playing. You know, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe the way he played in San Francisco and all this coming about, like, it was just kind of gave him a different perspective on things and kind of maybe calmed him down and settled him and maybe reset him. And maybe it has had an impact on the way he's played on the field. Who knows? But yeah.
Yeah. And this is first of all, there's nothing more to it. Like, the baby's coming in March. Congrats. I don't have hot takes on people having kids.
I'll be honest with you. You're a weirdo if you do. And I've seen some people, and like when I posted like the picture and that, people in the comments about stuff like, he's not even married to her, and I don't know about these revealing pictures and things like that. It all goes back to that Ricky Gervais, you know, stand up joke about Twitter being like, you know, going to kind of the, you know, a town center and seeing on a board that, you know, it says like guitar lessons, call these numbers, and like you call the number, be like, I don't want guitar lessons. It's like, cool, it's not for you. It's just like how Twitter is. If you don't like, cool, just keep going. It's just the fact that people feel like they have to comment on it. Like, who cares if he's not married? That's none of your business, you know? Like, I just think that it's weird when people have hot takes about that stuff. Hey, do this thing called worry about your own life, okay? I'm sure that there's plenty going on that you need to focus on that. Like, if you like him as a football player, that's cool. Root him on there. Like, I don't understand why people care about all that stuff. You know, focus on your own team.
I think it's weird, too. Can I ask you a question, though? Do you remember when covering the – okay, what year did you start covering the Cowboys, John?
2011.
2011. Was Romo – when did Romo have his first kid? Do you remember?
No,
was
but
that a story?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was a story for sure.
Except, I mean, I think the kicker is it's not any guy having a quarter having a kid. It's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, the story is interesting. I'm talking about people that have hot takes. You don't have a hot take on everything. I know the society we're in now, especially with sports and the national TV shows, but you don't have to have a hot take. got news for you. In sports, most of it isn't a hot take stuff. Most of it is very like vanilla down the middle. It's really not that interesting. And so you try and spice it up with a hot take on something that really doesn't, he doesn't really need a hot take on this, you know? Like,
no, not really. I don't know. I mean, kids kind of bore me, to be honest. So that's just me. Let's transition Seattle Thursday night. This is not a good football team. They've played really bad over the last 4 weeks. Three out of their last four games have been losses. I think if you guys saw their win against Washington when they were kind of farting around with them, that was enough to let you kind of know what's going on with them. They got destroyed by Baltimore. 49ers gave it to them on Thursday night. The Rams snuck one past them. It's not a good team. They are banged up. Kenneth Walker is doubtful, the running back. Geno Smith is questionable. It does look like he will play, though. When I watch Seattle, and keep in mind, it's a lot of red zone watching or the occasional time that they're featured. I see a team whose defense isn't very good. I see a team whose offense is struggling with any type of identity, really. And they're almost like waiting. They have gotten a lot of Jackson Smith and Jigba over the last little while. That has helped things a little bit. But this is a team who just, you know, they've spent a lot of money on defense too, and their defense is just not very good either. They give up a ton on the ground. So this could be a good spot to get the running game going as well. I have a hard time taking them seriously, and I guess I only am because they're 6-5 and they have a winning record. Seattle was a team last year who kind of baffled me as well. I would watch them and go, this is not a good team. And you go look at some of their stats and, oh, they've recovered the most fumbles. Like, there was a few luck stats that were kind of landing in their laps. I think the Vegas line's 8.5 right now. Seems a little high, but considering the Cowboys are seemingly winning every home game by 20 points or more, I really don't know. I think the Cowboys are going to smoke them on Thursday night, and I think they're geared up for December 10th against Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I think a lot of the knock against the Cowboys themselves is just about, you know, how they've beaten all these bad teams and haven't beaten any good teams. I mean, you look at the Seahawks schedule. Now, all credit to them for beating the Detroit Lions in week two in overtime. That's a good win for sure. Came in week two. I mean, but then you look after that, they beat Carolina. They beat the New York Giants. They beat the Arizona Cardinals. They beat the Cleveland Browns with, you know, whatever their, it wasn't Deshaun Watson. It was like PJ Walker and Dorian Thompson Robinson or whatever. And they beat them. They beat the Washington Commanders by 3. I mean, they got absolutely blown out by the Rams in opener. They got beat by Joe Burrow's Bengals. They got blown out by the Ravens, blown out by the 49ers, and lost again to the Rams. Point is, aside from that one week two win against the Detroit Lions, they haven't beat any more. I mean, it's what you're saying about the Cowboys, except you haven't even beaten all the bad teams. So it's kind of like just a worse version of whatever you're saying about the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as bad of a blowout as some of these recent games at home, but I don't see where the Cowboys lose this game. I think they win it by at least 10. It just isn't a Seattle team that really scares you. I guess if it was a Thursday night game in Seattle with how loud their building is, they have one of the better home field advantages in sports, I would give you maybe then there'd be a reason to be nervous. But just the confidence this Cowboys team has been playing with, and then specifically the confidence at home, I think that they're in really good shape. And with it being a night game like this, I don't see them, you know, sleepwalking in this one. Like, I think they'll be pretty juiced up for this game.
Now, and they got their hats handed to them by San Francisco. I think it's 31-13 on Thursday night, too. They're still, the NFL kind of structures this. They try to give the Cowboys that Thursday game against a team that played on Thanksgiving if they can. So it's teams going on equal rest. You know, and then you'll have, you know, a long week of rest to kind of make up for what you've been doing the last few weeks. Credit to the Cowboys for handling their business against some of these bad teams. No, Seattle's in the playoff hunt too. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like they are the Giants or Washington. They're not. But there are things about this team when you watch them. I sit there and look at a team who gives up a ton of yards on the ground. They don't get off the field very much. They can give up some chunk plays in the passing game. And Geno Smith is, you know, a great story the last couple of years. There's a reason Dak makes $40 million and Geno Smith makes under $20 million. He is paid to be just kind of that guy to get you here to there. And you're going to see that probably. You know, if you come out sleepy, that's not great on Thursday night. And that's the only thing I could see this, the only way I could see this game kind of ending up close. But man, I've watching this Cowboys team right now clicking really nice. And it's all building and building and building towards the playoffs. And we're going to probably think different about them at the end of, or in early January than we do right now. It's easy to think very highly of them right now because they've been playing well and blowing teams out. So it's all real, real kind of simple. And I just look at the team, it's just a better team. The Cowboys can put more pressure on you than Seattle can. They cover better than Seattle does. They tackle and hit better than Seattle does. I mean, watching the Cowboys are a physical team. And that's something we are kind of always wanting to see. When you watch San Francisco and Baltimore play, I mean, those are teams who are flying around and hitting hard. The Cowboys do that too. And I mean, maybe the safeties should get a little credit for that. I think what Micah and has brought to the defense and Dan Quinn, we should give Mike McCarthy a lot of credit too. There's a lot of good things going on in Cowboy land. Keep it going on Thursday night because we've got that date circled December 10th. But you do have to get through this one first. And I just don't take Seattle very seriously. I don't, you know, you're going to make the playoffs maybe. They've got a chance to make the playoffs because we now let seven teams make the playoffs in each conference. But I just don't see a good team when I watch them, man.
I know this game is technically still at the end of November, but one thing that I'm very interested to watch going forward, especially with this tougher schedule coming up, is just that we've seen Mike McCarthy establish a quality team now 3 years in a row, which is not common in Dallas. And it looks like at the very least three double digit win seasons in a row, again, very uncommon in Dallas. And then this home field advantage he's created, again, the records that they're at right now with 13 in a row. I mean, this goes back to, this is pre Jimmy Johnson, you know? So again, not very common in Dallas. The other thing that you can point to that he has consistently done every single year he's been the Cowboys head coach, including the disaster of 2020, is his teams have been outstanding in December. I mean, even that year during the pandemic when it was they were 3-9, or they were, 3-8 going into December. They lose to the Ravens to drop to 3-9, and then those next three games, they won all three of them all in December. He's 11-2 in December games, so that, to me, speaks to prepping your team throughout the season to be peaking at the right time. And so I'm interested to see if that carries over because of how difficult this schedule will be coming up in December. Because if they can keep that rolling, then they got a shot to catch the Eagles. But if they don't, then obviously I still think they're going to make the playoffs, no question. But then you're not playing at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys want to do some predictions here? Kind of see where we're at?
Let go.
Cowboys 38-17.
Wow.
Keeping bold. The 20-point win stroke going.
That's bold.
I mean, I'm going to have DK go off or something. I just don't see it happening. I really don't. I think we're going to get two or three interceptions again. Geno's not very good either. I mean, look, it's a good story for a while, but once you kind of stop romanticizing it for a little bit, you can sit here and you can watch the quarterbacks in the league and go, Geno's not very good. if that's harsh, I'm sorry. But he's just not. Sam Howell's not good either, guys. We all know that.
I don't know, man. That game broadcast, they were talking pretty early on about how he was going to be a piece of the future. So, I don't know. Ooh.
Well,
rough.
What's the future in Washington, you know?
Knew about that. Honestly, most of the things that I watched in that game on Thanksgiving, you could tell me aren't going to be there in the next year or two, and it wouldn't surprise me. I would think Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, but like I'm talking anything else. I mean, I would think Terry McLaurin too. But they got a ton of draft picks.
I thought Chase Young would be there.
Yeah, I'd sweat too. I mean, they got a ton of draft picks, and obviously going to be picking high in this next draft here. Probably, I think that they got a ton of free agency money and things like that. So, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of changes in Washington in the next few months. So, yeah.
Well, Saad, let's go to you. What do you got?
I think it's going to be a definitely competitive game, but I still think the Cowboys are going to take care of business. I'll go Cowboys 28, Seahawks 17.
Okay. Kent?
Cowboys 40, Seahawks 9.
A safety and a touchdown or three field goals from Jacob Myers?
Three field goals.
And John?
Man, this line keeps moving. It was at 7, then it moved to 8. Now, right now, it's Cowboys minus 8.5.
Is there anything to that? Are there questions about Geno playing?
Yeah, maybe that's – yeah. Usually when it keeps going like that, usually injury thing factor in. Kenneth Walker, maybe.
Yeah. Reminder, once again, we were recording this on Monday night.
Yeah.
In case whenever you guys listen to this. So.
I'll go Cowboys 31, Seahawks 20.
All right. Well, we all picked the Cowboys once again. I think biggest margin, Kent, 31 points.
And now, the moment we've all been waiting for, John's annual halftime show review. Take it away, John.
Pretty surprised by the outfit choice. 77 years old, going Cowboys cheerleader outfit. Was not expecting that. It was interesting. You know, Jerry seemed to really... have enjoyed it after the game in the group that was talking to him about it. I found it very, very interesting. He was very happy about that performance. So, I didn't have like a lot of expectations. I didn't really know what to expect, but I was certainly surprised by the outfit choice. But I mean, the songs that she went with, I kind of expected. I thought it was pretty entertaining. The one thing I will say about the Thanksgiving halftime show is it's nothing like the Super Bowl halftime show. So it's so like condensed with how many songs are you really going to do. So it's like, you're just doing, you know, a little bits and pieces of a few songs, but it exceeded expectations. What about you? What did you think?
Well, my hot thought is that we were shorted a song. I think there was something wrong with the stage.
I think something happened where I think that she might have went out there a little bit later than they were anticipating. It just seemed like there was a little bit more of a wait before the actual music started than normally is for one of those.
I think because there was a huge hole in the box on top of the star, I think that they had a malfunction with that pulley system or whatever to raise her up. I think she was supposed to come up and then stand on the star.
That created
an awkward environment when she was standing in front of the star and then kind of holding on to it.
Judging by how much she was holding on to that star, I don't know that it might have been in their best interest that it went the way that it did.
Yeah, I think so too. I was watching that going, I don't like that she's holding on to that. That seems dangerous. I was fearing for her safety. But when you see the huge hole in the box, or the huge hole in the star at the top of it, to me, unless someone was going to come up and be a special guest out of that thing, I have a hard time thinking that there was not some type of stage chaos. And like, apparently it like was, Eminem? Like you said, there was a delay. Like, yeah, I think that might have been them going, oh, crap, the thing's not working. Because like you said, too, it's not the Super Bowl halftime show. Yes, they did a test run. Yes, it's decent equipment, but it ain't the most foolproof thing
ever.
The
delay would have been her rising up. It would have been everybody cheering as she's rising up on this platform, and then the song kicks in. Right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And instead, it just flashes to her in front of the star. And she, you know, played it off and, you know. Hey, 41 million people watched that game, so that's all that matters. You can't... You can say what you want. Dolly's 77 years old. She said, screw it. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader look. There's nothing Dolly could have done that would have been worse than what happened in Detroit with the Jack Harlow halftime performance. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in the history of music.
So what happened? I didn't even watch it. What happened? Like, I obviously it doesn't. It's not on my radar. I wouldn't really care to watch. But
do you have Google up?
I mean, on my phone. Yeah.
We just image search real quick. Just Jack Harlow halftime.
I mean, I saw pictures. Yeah.
There was a fake igloo on the field, and him out there rapping. That was basically the halftime show. Right.
But the thing that was so fake about the igloo is that it was really they just put down a huge bed sheet down and a drum set on it.
I just can't imagine. I would be kind of surprised if he had this like really elaborate stage set up and a lot of stuff going on. Like, does that seem like him?
You're saying that because he doesn't have any talent?
I'm saying that because like I've seen him on different shows perform and it doesn't seem like he really is the type of like showman to do a lot of that stuff. That doesn't seem like that's his thing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, man.
He had no acrobats flying in on trapeze.
He did like College Game Day earlier this year, and I was just like, yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with him because you know they let him host Saturday Night Live last year too. It was one of the worst episodes. I think people think.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think it was bad?
I think people think he's more charismatic than he is. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people in the entertainment industry have just misjudged how charismatic he is. He was, by the way, asked to star in the reboot. And the remake of the movie White Men Can't Jump. It's like, well, we got a guy who didn't even speak that? Clearly.
Did star. What do you mean asked to? It's been out.
Yeah.
Wait. What happened?
So they remade the movie White Men Can't Jump, and he was the star of it.
That's out? That happened?
It came out like two years ago. Terrible.
Oh, my. Yeah, sorry.
I missed that, too.
Yeah, good.
It was probably right when he hosted SNL.
The other thing, speaking of the Cowboys halftime show, though, where I was sitting there, I did think about how they really are missing the boat. On next year, it has to be Creed. There's just so much of a, there's just so many people that are talking about how great that would be. And I just think that everybody involved would get a good laugh out of it and enjoy it. I think Creed would be up for it, and I just think it would do great numbers, and I think it would have been good this year, but I could also see by the time like the Rangers were winning and stuff, they probably already had Dolly in mind, and she had that album coming out where she covers a bunch of rock songs and stuff, so I see how that fits together. But if they get a chance, you have to have Creed next year. I mean, you have to do it. It would be like, I don't think they can get anybody. Realistically, they can't get anybody that would be better than if they got Creed to come out there. And I mean, yes, of course, you're going to have to do something similar with the guy flying around and stuff. But like, if they can come close to that, I think that would be a home run.
I agree.
By the way,
100%.
One funny thing I saw, I showed John in the press box. Some account on Twitter, speaking of the glorious Twitter, some account tweeted that the Cowboys were just paying tribute to a cheerleader from their last Super Bowl team, and that's what Dolly Parton was, or like that's what she looked like because she was so old in a Cowboys cheerleading uniform.
You know, look, Dolly does not care about nothing. Let me just straight up. Well, that's it.
I disagree with that.
She cares about giving to people. And being cool, Dolly does not care about what people think about her. She does not care.
We'll talk about this off air.
I don't think she cares. Yeah.
No, nothing like that.
She cared what people thought.
Yeah. And, you know, another weird thing, just like having a hot take about a baby, having a hot take about her dressed up as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader is weird.
Yeah.
Who was so offended by that?
I don't know if anyone was offended.
John?
I was just surprised.
No, I wasn't offended by it. No, do whatever you want. I was surprised. I was surprised that she wore that because it's not something that you would expect. You know, no.
Well, most of our grandmas aren't doing that.
I don't think that you're still performing at that age if you don't care what other people think. You don't have anything left to accomplish. She's obviously a legend, you know, but you still care.
She actually did though. This is the whole thing. Like she was nominated and then inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and then declined it because she said, I'm not a rock musician. And then news finally got delivered to her that, hey, they do it for all genres. This is called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And she goes, well, then I'm going to record a country album. I mean, I'm going to record a rock album.
Right.
And, yeah, no, I knew about it. That's why we got smothered with weird.
I mean, if you ever look down the list of who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, she certainly belongs in there.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know.
And that's why she's in there. So good on her, though. If she was like, well, I'm going to do a rock record then. F it. I got to earn it. Like, I was like, Dolly, you don't have to do anything.
Right.
And she did. And it's got Lizzo on it playing the flute on Stairway to Heaven. It's very weird. I wouldn't go listen to the record if I were you. No offense to Dolly, but also support Dolly. But also, you don't waste your time. It's 30 tracks. And yeah, don't review that whole record.
Is it two CDs?
Well, I don't think people do CDs anymore, but
two CD set.
Anytime anybody says anything is over 15 songs, I always think of like the Forrest Gump soundtrack, you know, like two CDs in that box.
Stadium, Arcadium.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, listener knows that we're the podcast for all things Cowboys halftime show. And what did we predict?
Yes.
Jolene, 9 to 5 and two cover songs. And what did she play? Jolene, 9 to 5 and two cover songs. So, you know.
Yeah.
Another feather in the cap.
Nailed it.
The official podcast of Cowboys halftime shows.
You know, the song Here You Come Again is one that's underrated in her catalog. So I would just like for you guys to check that one out tonight. Just go ahead and give it a listen. Here You Come Again. Beautiful track. I don't know if it would have fit the mood of halftime show. And I think we will find out in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think someone will have a story. Maybe it's John. Someone will have a story on a last minute chaos about the malfunction of that stage and what other song she was going to play. Okay. I don't think she was closing with a medley of We Are the Champions and the We Will Rock You.
I
think she had one more on the list.
I will get to work on that, and I will provide you with my best information next podcast.
Fantastic.
What do you think of Jason Garrett's NFL play-by-play debut, KT?
You know, he leaves a lot to be left. He leaves a lot of meat on the bone. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Here's my problem.
Okay, Joseph.
These guys are asked to do about 17 to 20 games a year. How is Collinsworth spending time with his family? Like, he did the Thursday night game, and they're like, well, we're going to run Garrett in here because the excuse was because Chris Collinsworth is spending Thanksgiving with his family. Like, bro, you get 20 games. Like, I don't even know. Like, this is my problem. Okay, this is why I'm a little harsh on Romo lately. You took the value of that position, demanded more money, got more money, up close to $20 million, and have gotten worse at your job. That's odd, and I think allowing that creates economic troubles in America.
I don't know. Romo was pretty good at the end of that Philly-Buffalo game.
Yep.
Put Romo in like a two-minute situation, he's still pretty awesome.
The next election, that's like one of the key points in one of the debates. How is this hurting America?
That KT straight face is not able to be viewed by the podcast listeners. That was amazing.
I thought it was a good point when Romo said that Stephon Diggs should run onto the field for the Eagles when they attempt a fake field goal. It was very odd. God, that would be funny if that was on one of the debates, though. Frankly, Tony Romo making too much money. And you can edit that out if you need to, Kent, because I know we don't want to get
political.
Good
impression, keeping it in.
It was
good. Sleepy Joe Buck over there.
Love it.
Well, good stuff. Thursday night, Amazon Prime, people. Don't be that person that doesn't check it out on Wednesday before. Pull it up. Make sure it works for you. We don't need anybody throwing their remote control because they're missing the kickoff on Thursday. I'm sure Al and Kirk are going to be thrilled to finally have some sort of a decent matchup. But that's what we have, and then we'll have a little bit of a breather before we get ready for Eagles week. Hopefully you get out of here healthy. Oh, one last note, and then we need to get out of here. Anything on the Shaq Leonard front? I forgot. We need to bring that up because the Cowboys don't have a lot of linebackers, John. Is there anything on that?
I mean, there's interest there. They're scheduled to bring him in on Tuesday. Wondering kind of where he is health-wise. I think that's going to be a factor. And then obviously he's in a spot where he can sign with any team, so money will be a factor as well. It sounds like from reports that I've seen that Eagles are also in the running there. So I'm interested to see what they do. You know, if the price is right, I think it's a real possibility, but we'll see. I mean, I think we'll find out within the next day or so, but yeah, there's legitimate interest. There's no question about that. I'm interested to see how this all works out, because linebacker is definitely a spot where they need some help at the very least depth wise. So
yeah, no, for sure. It's like one more injury and you're in a bind there.
Yeah.
You know, if you hate to say, if Marquise Bell or someone, DeMone, whatever, one more injury and you're kind of going, we got to get someone quick, you know. Yeah. So, it's a name who was a big name a couple of years ago, and I think this is a little different than your standard big name gets released or is available, you show, go get him. I think this is actually something where you're kind of like, help.
Yeah.
We could use the help. We could use the body just in case here.
Yeah.
I think them not being able to sign him or something would be like, you know, it's not the end of the world or anything, but if they sure. lost him to the Eagles again, that would be pretty funny.
And if he plays well.
Yes.
But yeah. If he goes there and he doesn't really do much for them, you know, then I don't think it's really that big of a deal. But yeah, if he was to go there and then he ends up being a piece that, you know, puts them over the top in January. Oh, yeah, that one will get brought up a lot. But, I mean, they're getting a chance to work him out. I think they'll know where he's at and have a good feel for that. And then I think it comes down to just, okay, what are you looking for financially for the rest of this season, you know, and what makes sense. But if Dan Quinn wants him, I don't see why they wouldn't do everything they possibly can to get him.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll enjoy the game Thursday night. Have a good time covering the game, guys. Thank you for all you do for us here. We'll read your work on The Athletic throughout the week, as always. And we'll catch up with you next week in the middle and get you ready for Eagles week. That'll be the next time you hear from us. For Father John Machota, for Saad Youssef, for Kent Garrison, I am Kevin. And we'll see you next time. What about them Cowboys? Bye.
I had a Thanksgiving plate with a side of tears, bro.